But let's just recognize, if it is the case that these guys are right, and by the way, they forecast back after the last economic crisis that real estate prices would drop 40%. I think the average was 34%. So this ain't our first time to the rodeo.
Yeah.
There wasn't inflation at that time. And what we're now so accustomed to inflation, we expect it. But if you have an event like a Great Depression, what happens to inflation?
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. My name is Carrie Lutz. I'm your host. As if you didn't know that already, well, John Grace is with us now, Investors Advantage Corporation. John, God, you've been doing this since 1979, and you threw an alarming statistic at me, one that I was not aware of. I've owned a number of homes, and even the first one, I wasn't really that upset with, but 82% of millennial first-time home buyers have regrets.
And, yes.
You know, we were joking, like, who has more regrets, young people getting married or young people buying a home? And I'll bet you it's pretty close.
Well, yeah, you're probably right, Gary, and you watch a lot of things. But, I mean, how many times when we talk about being in unparalleled, unprecedented, unusual times, how many times have we seen any group of people buy a house and a year or two later regret that purchase? And that means, what, 8 out of 10 millennials bought and now wish they had not? That's astonishing. And we all know when you move into your house, you're getting so happy, making it just perfect, right? Well, they're not there yet, and they're trying to make it perfect, but apparently they think they paid too much, and I think I would agree, and they didn't do their homework, and this fear of missing out drove them to make a fast decision and not really, as I say, do their homework. But let's talk more about what we foresee for real estate, because it's this time is certainly different. And just so that you know, Carrie, we are thinking ourselves as canaries in the coal mine, and busy beavers doing everything we can to prepare investors for the crash of our lifetime.
Yeah, well, it's certainly coming. There's no question about it. It's just a question of if it's before the election or after, but it's certainly coming. You know, I'm looking at some of these regrets. The highest one, paying too high of an interest rate. So that's 22% of the people. You know, 3 years ago, that didn't exist.
Right.
Nobody was paying too much. You were paying too little. You just didn't know it. And the government was effectively artificially setting rates and therefore malinvestment, all that good stuff. So maybe you were paying less of a rate, but then the home price had skyrocketed. So you're still paying a lot. But this other thing about not being educated about home buying, you know, that's really kind of a cultural thing.
Right.
My parents owned their own home from the time I was born, you know, post-World War II, worked hard. They had 3% mortgages then. Houses cost like $50,000. That was an expensive home. It was easy to do. But the whole thing about home buying, you'd think, John, with all the information on the internet, all of it literally at your fingertips, right down to valuing a home, which we never really had the ability to do in real time. You had to look at comps. The broker would give you like a book of similar of sales that took place in the neighborhood, and you'd have to figure out the comps, and then you'd have it appraised for if you were getting a mortgage. So, I mean, how can people not be educated about this? What am I missing here?
Well, yeah, I think you're hitting the nail here from the standpoint of what are we missing? And the various industries have made us all believe when it comes to home ownership, it's about watching inventory and interest rates and location, right? All very logical. But I think there's a fundamental piece to the puzzle that most of us do not see, and it has really nothing to do with our professions. And that's paying attention to the buying and selling behavior of consumers based on age. So when boomers were standing in line literally to go out for their first home purchase when prices were much lower, and so was income, they signed up for what? 16% 30-year fixed loans. And nope, there was no hurdle there, right? So if we look at the action in terms of age, what we can see, thanks to the Census Bureau, your tax dollars at work, 31 just happens to be the age people tend to buy their first homes. 31. By the way, it's now 37. So that was happening over and over again. You could not go to a cocktail party around the holidays in the early 80s without everybody there talking about what kind of house you had in escrow and how your parents came up with the down payment. So 41 happens to be the age. Again, nobody sees this. We all step up. Baby boomers certainly did. I certainly did. To the McMansion. 41 is the age we tend to buy our biggest home. So that's in the history books. So let's not just stare in the rearview mirror talking about, well, it's about this. No, let's look forward. Let's use the windshield. Let's use the GPS system. They do work fine. And see where are we going from here. Two parts to this puzzle, again, that nobody's really identifying. And that is, we all want to believe we're living longer. The truth is, most of us are not. In fact, after COVID, the U.S. was the only country where the life expectancy kept dropping. All the other developed countries kept going up. I think it's north of 80 for U.K., Canada, right. Japan. It's 76.4 in America today. So look at the average, folks, Homer and Marge Simpson, making all of $75,000 a year. And then look at your family. Don't do the reverse. You've got to get it twisted. And why is that important? Well, as we talked about, as we see here, boomers were born between 1946 to 64, and we're going to say that was all thanks to pent-up demand, all these guys coming home from the war, right? Got to have kids, got to have butt. All right, so 1946 was when the first group started off. Donald John Trump turned 77 in just last year. He turned 78 this year. We're just using him as a proxy. 77 roughly is the average age of death. What happens at 78? All we're hearing about is shortages when it comes to housing, right? That could suddenly turn into surplus. It won't be soon or, you know, overnight, but it will take a while. And by the way, from peak to trough in the last real estate upset, it was about 6 years to go from the top of the prices to the bottom of the prices. So it's like a slow-moving train wreck. But regardless, we're dying off at 76, 77 on average. And 78, Kerry, happens to be the age most consumers sell their homes. Really? Yes. So what we're saying is, if you want to be ahead of the curve, you want to be ahead of the herd of cows, literally, because right. I can tell you, if you're in the midst of a herd of cows, as I was in New Mexico trying to get my Eagle merit badge, right, the cows just start pooping right in front of you, and it's hard to avoid stepping in it, and the smell is just awful. So what you got to do is break from the pack, run ahead of the herd, and stay ahead of the herd, and look over your shoulder, because they will trample you, okay? So this is what I'm saying, that we've got to really look at what people are doing, not just getting high on the hopium. Prices cannot continue to go through the ceiling. And let's just notice, Kerry, I'll ask you, what are the two states in this country that have the highest vacancies? I want to know the name of the state and the number of vacancies in that state.
I know Florida is one of them.
Yes, you're right. Most people don't go there.
And my inclination would be to say California, but I don't think that's it.
Yep, stop there. Go to the head of the class. No one has answered these questions correctly. Okay, now, do you have a number for the two states? Yes, Florida's number one with most vacancies, and California's number two.
1.6 million in Florida, something like that.
About 1.7, yes, in Florida. You're in the ballpark. Again, you go to the head of the class. And how about Cali?
Cali is like 1.2.
Bingo, you're 100% correct. So while we're all looking at the news and getting excited about shortage, right, what we don't see is this is, wait a minute, are there 16 million vacant homes in America today? Yes. And is it true Freddie Mac says in about 10 years or so, There'll be another 6 to 9 million vacant homes in America because boomers are going to heaven, leaving the inventory. That suggests to me, well, in fact, our research team, Kerry, just to make it very blunt, did research, mm-hmm. says this will be a worldwide real estate crash after a global bubble. And we know that all bubbles burst 100% of the time. There will be nowhere to hide. It's not about your location. I mean, worldwide. And remember, just with COVID, what was that? Where did it come from? What's Wuhan? What's COVID? Isn't that just happening over there? No. China's real estate will lead like the U.S. led in the Depression. This time, the leader will be China. And don't be surprised to see their prices drop about 70%. Ours on average are likely to drop about 50%, as little as 14% in Nashville, as high as 70% in Phoenix, 50% on average from here. And that's why real estate will be much slower to bounce than stocks. Stocks took, as I say, 17 months to reach the bottom in the 2008 crisis. Real estate took 6 years. So what we're saying to folks is now might be, nobody can see the future, but it's not about being right? It's about being ready. And if you want to be ready, you want to think like you do when you're in Vegas. You've got a bunch of chips. What are they worth if you don't see the cashier? If you have a bunch of equity, what is it worth? You count it as cash. What is it worth to you, that equity that you just love so much, if it gets crushed by 50% or 70%, whatever it might be? If you're fine with that, roll with it. But as I tried to say to a friend of mine 2 years ago with 12 properties, a big realtor in town, all in the same area, I said, well, first of all, you have no diversification. It's all one asset type, right? Two, geographically, let another earthquake occur and when you're going to feel that. For longer than a minute.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, but three, how about just taking your chips off, half your chips off the table? If you think the price is going to continue through the roof, and you know, by the way, people in the Midwest, happy prices have tripled. People on the coast, delighted prices have quadrupled. But I said to her, as I will say to you, do you see a problem here when over the same 20-year period, household income has only gone up 1.6 times? Now, do you think that's sustainable? So you don't have to be right. It is good to be ready. Take your chips off the table. Put the popcorn in your lap, the money in your wallet. Be like Warren Buffett. Don't be anxious to sell high and buy high. Warren Buffett sells high, sits in cash for longer than a minute, and then he figures out what to buy in a year or two or three. And that's what we're saying.
Right.
You know, get your cash in your pocket so that you can catch the next wave. There's always going to be opportunity, but this wave is cresting.
Yeah. Okay. I'll buy it. It's definitely... risk involved anytime. You know, John, so many times I thought I should just sell my house. It's doubled in price since I bought it in 2021. But then I have to move, all right? And that is both physically and mentally taxing. And then I have to find, like, another place to go to.
Right.
I got a 3% mortgage. That's great. But... I then have to go buy the other place for cash. I'll still have some cash left over.
I would say don't buy the other place at all yet.
Yeah.
I would say go through the hell of selling and, you know, relocating and paying. But I'm saying pay $5,000 a month for rent. If you want to play the game, if you don't care where prices go, fine. But let's just recognize, Kerry, two parts to this puzzle. We can look at the U.S. and then let's look at Japan. After the Great Depression, most of us know stocks dropped 80%, took about 5 years to get back to even. Most of us don't know New York real estate dropped 70%, 7-0, all right? And it came back to even too in about four decades. Excuse me? Yes, that's right. Let's recognize if we were adults in the, you know, the start of the roaring 20s and then the Great Depression, life expectancy was 57. So what does that tell me? And that's one of the drivers, if you will. I'm delighted to have this conversation because what that tells me, if we were adults then, the stocks, oh, and by the way, for the stocks to come back, it meant you could not do what? Sell a share. What? You didn't need any money for 20, 25 years? That's right. Had to keep it there. Just got kicked in the assets, 80%. And you have to sit in those same assets for it to come back. But life expectancy was 57. So when it comes to New York real estate or the Dow, that's the only index we had at that time, neither came back while we were still here. Could that happen again? It's happening right now in Japan. As you probably know, stocks in Japan peaked 89. A year later, Japanese real estate dropped 70%. Sound familiar? From what I can tell, right now, both appear to be about where they were. Was that 34, 35 years ago? If you were 40, now you're 75. You're just getting back to even. And that may be, you know, a precipice for another course correction. So, yeah, I'm going to say, if you want to play the game, this is a good time. If you don't care about the prices dropping, whatever they might drop, and not coming back, this might be a good time to either just roll with it and forget it. Don't feel any regret about it because you knew what you were doing, your eyes wide open, or take your chips off the table and let's go play elsewhere.
Yeah, well, so where do you put your chips? Gold?
Well, there's nothing wrong with cash. I mean, again, let's look at Warren Buffett. He's not anxious when he sells, whether it's a profit or a loss. He takes his chips off the table. And Kerry, let's notice that what he said recently is worth making sure we talk about. What he said was, Berkshire Hathaway, the holdings are in the neighborhood of $1 trillion. That's a lot of money. But if we had limited our losses, the value would probably be twice as much. We don't talk about how to limit losses. And my securities industry, right, my profession, what we tell you and everybody else is you get to live with the losses. I'm sorry. let's focus on limiting the losses, not try to live with the losses. You know, let's be like the animals after a hurricane. They don't try to ride it out, and it's not who's cute or who's well-dressed or who has, is very likable. We're going to follow the smartest animal to high ground. Let's get out of the way, let this thing pass, and then come back if we choose to. But don't try to just, we're going to just ride this one out, Kerry. Give me a bottle, I'll be fine.
Yeah, kind of like, I don't know if he's caught during the solar eclipse, the animals at the zoo, they went absolutely crazy there, you know?
Right.
Absolutely crazy. They didn't know what was going on, and then they settled down after a little bit.
Yeah,
but it was really insane, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So we got the idea here. So cash, but then, Jot, what about inflation, which is destroying the value of cash as we speak here? You know, they're lying about the inflation rate. The federal government has committed to. Made a lot of promises that they're not going to be able to fully keep all these entitlements. What's the future of cash?
Well, cash is just a temporary holding position, all right? There are other places where you can have consistency, where you might have more measured growth. It's not just being on the roller coaster for the peaks and the valleys. You know, that for some folks, that's just a little bit too exciting. And most of us don't really recognize what kind of loss we can accept. We haven't really done that. And it was when the bottom falls out that we go, I didn't want that to happen, and not recover soon enough. But let's just recognize, if it is the case that these guys are right, and by the way, they forecast back after the last economic crisis that real estate prices would drop 40%. I think the average was 34%. So this ain't our first time to the rodeo.
Yeah.
There wasn't inflation at that time. And what we're now so accustomed to inflation, we expect it. But if you have an event like a Great Depression, what happens to inflation? It's gone, evaporated. Suddenly, all prices, including salaries, have come down, right? But now, for those folks who have a fixed income, if prices have come down, your purchasing power has gone up. So if this is, and Michio Kaku, I'm sure you know, an astrophysicist, I had the pleasure of talking with him, he says he studies in civilizations, and depressions in his studies have an occurrence that happens just about 80 years, every 80 years, just like clockwork.
Yeah.
So we were on track for number two, and you know, all the wonderful election officials didn't want this to happen on my watch. So we put tape on the pig, lipstick on the pig, kicked the can down the road. We would have worked through it by now and, you know, been a lot less as old as we are now if it had happened in 2008. But this is part of the problem. We don't feel the pain. We don't want to feel the pain. So we'll do anything we can to make the pain go away. Not much different than when we're hooked on cocaine, right? Mm-hmm. We'll do anything we can to keep from feeling the pain, but either you're going to die or you're going to get well. But this is not sustainable. So I'm not really worried about inflation. Temporarily, yes. But over the long term, if we see a serious recession, or if we have kicked that depression can down the road and all of a sudden it shows up again, and as I say, if China's going to lead us to a 70% loss in their real estate, that's going to be contagious. I would not be surprised to see everybody say, well, no, we can't have a recession. Then you're never ready for a depression. But as I say, it's not about who's right. It's about who's ready. And we need to look at all of these things from different angles to figure out how we might play the game.
All right. So I'm just going to take issue with one thing that you said about China.
Yeah.
70%, I think you're being wildly optimistic. I think you're looking at 90 to 95%, because the uniqueness of that market is that, they don't maintain stuff there. I mean,
we'll see.
Stuff,
yeah.
But they got tofu dreg construction. I don't know if you read about that.
They have 65 to 80 million vacant homes. But this is what I'm saying. Is it 70? Is it 100? I don't really care. That's a debacle no one's prepared for. And we have no tools with which to deal with this.
But you and I, we're prepared for it. I've seen this thing coming for years.
You're right.
But I think the world's waking up. But it is the world's largest asset class.
Yep.
It's going to lose 90% of its value because they've got, the banks are out of money, the governments are out of money there, the businesses are closing up like one after the other. Even Tesla's got issues there now, and they were like the stellar company, the most profitable company in China in many respects. So it's
all I would say is let's look at Wuhan and COVID when we said 2 months into it, we'll be back to normal. To your point, whether it's 70 or 90, I really don't care. What I am saying is it's not just going to be limited there. All right. Okay. Yep. Right now, Japan has 11 million vacant homes. And Nomura Security says that number could very well double or triple in the next 10 years. So all I'm saying is we're all in this together. We're drinking the same Kool-Aid, the same water. We're breathing the same air. We're flying the same Boeing airplanes. We're all in this together. So let's just not point fingers and go, well, it's happening over there, but I can't see. I mean, I was talking to a good friend of mine. I said, look, here's a San Francisco condo that's sold for $1 million in 2019. It just sold for $500,000. He said, that's San Francisco and I would never move there. I said, don't do that. Don't just say, well, I don't like it there, so I don't have to pay attention. 44.5% of the homes just in the last year that's 44% loss, I'm sorry, in the homes in California in the last year, March 23rd to March 2024. But 44.4% is a loss across the country. It's happening right here, right now. It's not just over there. And that's what I'm saying. Figure out if you want to try and weather this storm, how you want to play weathering the storm, as opposed to trying to live with it. It could be quite disastrous.
I could not agree with you more. And, I always love the headlines, experts disappointed. Inflation exceeds experts' expectation. Who are these experts? You have to be like a 3-year-old to not understand this.
Or you have to represent a company that can't withstand that kind of novelty in terms of the concept. We want everybody to keep buying our products and services. Yeah. Right. I think that's what you see too. But let me say this real quick, Kerry, because we talked a lot about real estate. Let's talk about the stock market. And again, we don't want, most people have their money in passive instruments. They stay 5% cash, 95% invested. We prefer, for people who are concerned about declines, something we can't do with real estate, we can do with like retirement accounts. 11,000 people a day turning 65. You have to have your required minimum distributions. Then it becomes more important for us to see what we can do to limit our losses. You have to take withdrawals that increase every year for the rest of your life. How can you stomach another? We've had 250% losses in the same decade. How could you stomach another one as you're taking withdrawals? So 2022, 2023, 2022, look to see how your account did. 2008, look to see how your account did. Mm-hmm. Are you better prepared if either of those events happen again? Was your loss over 37, 40% in 08? I'll bet it was. 2022, the market was off 20 to 30. How did you do? If you were off, let's say, 20% in 2008 or less, you might have gotten back to even in a year or two. The no-load mutual funds, all stocks, stayed 5% cash, 95% invested, took 4 to 5 years to get back to even. 2022, let's look at that again. How did your account do? Markets were off 20 or 30. If you were off 12, 10, 11, 9, less than that, right? Remember what Buffett is making famous, at least in my book, looking at how to limit your losses keeps you in chips.
Yeah. All right. Well, John, hey. A lot of sage advice and wisdom there for sure. You know, to actually get people to do it, though, is not the easiest thing, is it?
No, it's after the dam breaks that we go, oh, my God.
If only I had listened to John.
Yeah. Is it too late?
John, just tell us where we connect with you, how we find you on the web.
Yes, YBPOR, WHYBEPOOR, Investors Advantage, right in Westlake Village. Happy to talk to folks who want to see what they can do to limit their losses and prepare for, I hope we're wrong, but we are preparing for a crash of our lifetime.
Yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Forewarned is forearmed. Got a question for John or myself? Shoot me an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. Don't forget to go to the website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. You'll find a link in the show notes to John's site. And while you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. John, always appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Look forward to it, Kerry. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Kerry Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.